I'm sure there are incidences that come to our life that we just do not know why. But I'm glad one of these days we shall know. We'll understand it all better by and by. But until that day, we must realize and understand that we are living right now. Dr. B.R. Lakin years ago said, "We sing about the sweet by and by, and we forget about that we're living in the nasty now and now." And how true that is. Where we're living now is just a terrible conditions of our world. But it could be a lot worse. And you know what? I believe it will get a lot worse. But we'll understand all that when it's all said and done, when it's all over. And when we go to be with the Lord, and that's the key to it, knowing that we're going to be with the Lord. To know Him as our personal Savior, to realize that He is the only way of escape out of this world. And that song that we just did, Father Along, how true that is. And that last verse says, when we see Jesus coming in glory. And that could be today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, as John said there in the Revelation. And we certainly are looking forward to the coming of our Lord. But until then, we must strive to serve Him, live for Him, and be what we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We read here in beginning with verse number 7. We read of a very personal story or a personal account that the Apostle Paul gives of himself. And I'm glad to know that Paul, we think of him many times as a super Christian, and he was a tremendous person, a tremendous man of God. But I find that he was still a man of flesh. And things that bother me, I'm sure bothered him, for he recognizes that there was things in his life that was a bother to him. And even in that, he could glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I dare say that if we was to go around the building, and if I was to ask for somebody in this section here to stand, and if you had liberty to share with us a problem that's in your life, I'm sure probably more than one or two would raise to their feet to be able to do that. If I was to go here to the middle section and say, someone that has difficulties in your life, would you care to share them with us? And I'm sure there would be multiple people. And the same on the right section also. Because we live in a world that's full of trouble. Job said, man that is born of woman is of a few days full of trouble. And I'm glad, thank God, there's a day coming when the trouble's over. But it's only over if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, or chapter number 12, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe is opening his heart to the people of the Corinthian church to make them realize that his life was not just a bed of roses. And for us also, as we read it this morning, we understand some of the things that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. We have many good things to say about Paul and many great things. And if it hadn't been for the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't have too much to read in the New Testament. for he was the human author of a majority of these books that we call the New Testament, all the epistles and the things that are written as he writes the letters to the churches, as he writes a personal letter to Timothy, as he writes all those different things. We have recorded and given to us those thoughts and those things as the Word of God. So we know that these words are not just Paul's heart, but this is God directing him and giving him the message that is good for us. Not only was it good for the Corinthian church, but as it is inspired of God, and we can read it now, it's good for us just as it was for them. And so Paul realizes that he was a blessed man. He realized that he had many revelations from the Lord. And there in verse number 7, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." And then he says, "Through the abundance of revelations," or because of the many revelations that God had given him, or so many of the words that God had penned down through him, Paul said, "There is given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted." Unless he thought too much of himself. You know what's wrong with most Christians this morning? We just simply think too much of ourselves. We just think we're a little bit better maybe than somebody else, or we have arrived at a certain standard of life and we're just so much better than that poor publican over there that is given to us in the New Testament. As those Pharisees, they said, "Oh, we thank God we're not like that person." I'm afraid too many times we find ourselves in the position of maybe exalting ourselves above measure, as Paul says here. And so Paul says, "I recognize that there was a thorn in the flesh given to him to keep his body into subjection, to keep his heart and his mind in the right place for the Lord." For I'll tell you, when we get to feeling too important, we're of no good at all to God. When we think we have arrived, we really are just starting. When we think we've gotten to a point that God can't do without us, then we find out that we have exalted ourselves above measure. And Paul recognized this thing that was, whatever it was, that came in Paul's life. He recognized it was sent from God, and he prayed that God would remove it, but God said, "My grace is sufficient." And then he came to the conclusion that in his weakness, he was made strong. There's a lot of supposition as to what this thorn was in Paul's life. There are many people, and maybe this may be the real thorn that was in his life. I do not know. But there are many people that believe that Paul was suffering from a failing eyesight because of some of the things that he said when he wrote to the Galatian church. He tells them about, he says, "I bear record that if it were possible, you, he said that you have said yourself that you would pluck your eyes out and give to me." And so maybe that's an indication that Paul had some eye problem. He mentions another time, he said, "You see what large letter I have written." And their letter is not a very, if you think of the length of it, is not very large. So he could have been talking about the height of the, or the size of the letter that he was writing. There are some people that feel like that maybe it was because of his many persecutions in the flesh. If you turn back just a chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll find that Paul gives some indication of some of that persecution in verse number 23. He says in verse number 23, says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, of deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers." He goes on and on and on. Those are the persecutions that came to Paul as he ministered for the Lord. And there are some that maybe feel like that's the thorn that he had, that the struggles that followed him. There are those that believed it was maybe a mental suffering, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about being persecuted and that problem that come to him as a preacher of the gospel for the church of God. Whatever the thorn was indicated here, it was something that bothered him extremely. It was something that came to him often. It may be even, some think that maybe it was even a personal buffeter, the messenger of Satan. And I'll tell you what, Satan has many of his messengers. And they will buffet you. They will come against you. And the wickedness of this world will bring its and raise its ugly head above to us continually. And maybe that was the thorn that Paul was talking about. I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know one thing. Paul said, I asked God to remove it three times. And he says, my grace is sufficient. So this morning, I want us to think a little bit about this thorn that Paul had in his life. Regardless of what we think it might have been, it certainly is a spot in Paul's life that was very detrimental to him. And his reaction there was that he prayed that God would remove it. He asked God to deliver him from that particular thing, whatever it was. Not only did he pray to God one time or two times, Paul says, I prayed thrice or three times that God would remove it. You know, sometimes God does not remove every hard spot in our life because He wants to prove to us that His grace is sufficient for us. He doesn't always make it a bed of roses. And by the way, the roses have the thorns. And sometimes the thorns are there to make us aware that the good things of life also have the struggles of life. And so Paul reacted and he prayed or besought God. He directed his prayer in the right direction. He prayed to God. I've had people say, why does God not answer my prayer? Well, God does answer our prayer. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait a little longer. And sometimes He'll answer in just the way we want it. But God always answers our prayer. And Paul directed his prayer to God and he besought the Lord and he prayed earnestly three times and He specifically directed it because he says, I prayed about this thing. A specific prayer. Now, all of us in here this morning, we can pray the shotgun prayer. We can pray the scattergun load prayer and just hit everything. But when it comes down to me personally, I want to pray directly to God for that specific thing. And that God would answer on this thing. And that's what Paul did. And Paul is told here by the Lord that my grace is sufficient in verse number 9. God says, I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to help you get through it. I'll not take it all away from you, but I'll make you have victory over it. And every individual in here this morning, there are thorns in our life. There are problems that come to us. Some of them are mental. Some of them are physical. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them are financial. But there are thorns that beat at us continually. And I'm glad to deliver the message to you this morning of hope and understanding that God is able to deliver. That God is able to say, be it removed, and it can be removed. But if He does not say that, then He is able to say, my grace is sufficient that you can bear it. That I can help you get through that. And so, Paul didn't complain to the Lord. He just prayed to the Lord. His reaction was, finally, in verse number 9, in verse number 10, he says, if the Lord wasn't going to answer it, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. So, I believe it was an infirmity in his flesh, whatever it was. And Paul says, since God's not going to remove it, and God's going to help me get over it and get through it, he said, I'm just going to rejoice in my infirmity. I'm just going to go on and serve the Lord anyway. You know, there's a lot of Christians this morning that are not in the house of God. They don't go to church anymore just simply because something hurt them. Or somebody hurt them. Or something was done wrong. And in churches, guess what? There are things done wrong in church. There are problems in churches. There are people that will hurt you in church. There are words that are said that sometimes cut to our heart in church. But that doesn't mean we throw away the house of God because the Lord says, I'll help you through that. And so Paul here is saying, in order that I not become more exalted, God gave me the thorn in the flesh. God knew Paul. I think you can read the early life of Paul that I believe he was a very proud individual. I believe he was a very proud Jew. He had a great teacher that he sat under, Gamaliel. He had understanding of the Old Testament Scripture, even though even before he was met the Lord on Damascus Road. He had a mental asset or a mental understanding of what spiritual things were about. And I believe Paul was a very proud Jew. And Paul now is being used of God immensely. And churches are being established and people are being saved and the gospel is being preached and the message is going forth. And boy, I'll tell you what, when that happens, it's easy for that individual to say, look who I am. All you got to do this morning is turn on your TV, you'll find a whole lot of those characters. They'll let you know who they are. They'll tell you. They understand who they are. You may not believe it, but they do. And Paul says, in order that I not be exalted above measure, the thorn that came to my flesh. And then he said, since the Lord is not going to remove it, I'll just take pleasure in it. And it brought glory unto the Lord. God answered Paul's prayer. His unexpected answer. Somebody would say, well, it looks to me like that Paul, being as great a Christian as he was, looks to me like he could have moved God to remove that from him if he desired that. We can't move God to do anything out of His will. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how great we think we are. It doesn't matter how much we've accomplished or how much we've established and how much we've done. God knows what's best for us. And so Paul now has come to admit and to understand that this, through the abundance of the revelation, and I exalted above measure, God sends the thorn. And he took pleasure in that after he realized that that was really best for him. Farther along, Paul understood it. I dare say if we was to talk to the Apostle Paul this morning, we'd ask him, was it better? Would it have been better for you that if God would have removed that? I'm sure he would have said, oh no. What the Lord did for me was just exactly what I needed in my life. What God did, how He answered my prayer, was that He said His grace was sufficient. He said I was able to go on and do all the ministry and all the work that God gave me because He was taking care of the thorn in my flesh. And He helped me be sustained and He supplied every need. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Now, some of the thorns that we have in our lives are not like the Apostle Paul's. Paul's thorn, I do not believe, was self-inflicted because of sin. Paul's thorn was there to prevent him from being more exalted than he should be. And God stopped it before it ever happened. But some of the thorns that we have in our life, they're self-inflicted. Some of those things that we have to live with and some of those things we deal with on a daily basis are those things that are because of our ungodliness and because of our unwillingness to serve the Lord. And certain things come upon us. But this morning I want us to try to understand what the thorns will do for us. What the problems will do and how the thorns will teach us. Everything in your life, if we turn it over to God, I believe God can use it to teach us something in the walk of God, in the walk in the flesh. Every situation that comes our way, we can learn something from that, and we can live more abundantly, we can do more for the Lord if we'll let these things come to us in the right attitude. So there is a divine result of the thorns that come to our life. First of all, thorns will teach us that we must learn to lean upon God. We cannot fight the battle ourselves. We cannot. Oh, we may fight it, but we're not going to win it. We may struggle. We may run to the wit's end. We may go as far as we can go. And we may be hanging on the end of the rope at the last knot, but we'll not win the battle without God helping us. It must teach us to lean upon Christ. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Simple verse. Just simply lean upon the Lord. Don't lean upon ourselves because we don't know which way to go. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know what direction to take. But if we'll lean upon the Lord, He will direct our paths. He will help us get around some of the hard spots. He'll help us get over some of the difficulties. He'll help us get through the valleys. He'll help us go on for the Lord. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, casting all of our cares upon Him because He careth for you. I'm glad I can declare to every individual, you put your own name here, that God cares for whoever you are. God cares about you. He hasn't left us out here to rumble around and ramble around and wonder what's going on. God cares about us. And so, casting our cares upon the Lord, that word care there means the struggles. We might could even say this morning, cast all our thorns upon Him. All those things that hurt us and those things that bother us and those things that beat us down, those things that get us depressed and those things that work against us, thank God we can cast them upon Him. Thank God this morning I can lean upon the Lord. I can rejoice in Christ and not to have confidence in my flesh, but have confidence in Him. So therefore, thorns will teach me to run to Christ, to lean upon Him. Thorns will teach me also that God is greater than my problem. Right now, as far as I know in my life, I have no problems. Things are pretty good for my life. They can change overnight. I got pretty good health. When I had the knee surgery, they did all kind of stuff just to make sure I was able to go through it. And they said, "You're in good health." I said, "Thank you." And I thought to myself, "Why am I here?" They did an EKG on my heart, and they said, "Perfect, that's good." They did all the tests, everything's fine. But you know, that can change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Things can change. And all of a sudden, a strife will come to my life. And there's been problems, and there are problems with everyone. But these problems and these thorns should teach us that God is greater than all of our problems. That He's able to handle it. He told Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you, Paul." This morning, whatever you have in your life, His grace is sufficient. Whatever it is. We are overcomers that believe in Him. It teaches us that God is greater. Romans 8:38 says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." I'm glad, thank God, I'm more than a conqueror. We're on the winning side. The battle has already been won. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might." Too many times we try to do it in our might, in our strength, and we falter, we fail, and then we say, "What in the world's wrong?" Well, we've just done it the wrong way. We need to lean upon the Lord and realize that He's far greater than our strength. We've already mentioned that we learn that God is sufficient. Sufficient. That word means He'll take care of all. That means there's none lacking. When God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient," Paul understood that whatever come his way, the Lord could handle it. The Lord could take care of it. The Lord could make it be good. Romans 8:28 said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose." And so we know that these things come to us and that His grace is sufficient for us. He said, when the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," then Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, I glory in my infirmities." Gladly. If the work of God can go on and the struggles of the world and the life, if I can reach more for Christ with this infirmity, then Paul said, I will glory in my thorn. I will rejoice that God can use me where I am and the way I am, that I might reach somebody else for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times we go through things and then somewhere down life's road we're able to help somebody that's going through the same thing. And it's simply because we can say, I know how you feel. Until a parent dies, you cannot say, I know how you feel. Until you have struggles in your life, you cannot tell somebody else, I know. But when that happens to us, when that struggle comes to us, when that death comes to our home and to our life, then we can say, I understand your hurt. I understand your problem. And therefore, the work of God can go forward because somebody is there to help. And someone's there able to give confidence in the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. He goes on and says, but our sufficiency is in God. We're not sufficient. Oh, preacher, I can take care of myself. You can't do it. I can take care of my problems. No, you can't. If you take care of them, they'll come back. Oh, I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. I've had people tell me, I can handle this, preacher. I know how far to go. I know what to do. I know how to take care of it. And before long, that problem's overtaken them because they don't know how to handle it. And they've not turned it over to the God of heaven. So the thorns will help us to realize that God is sufficient. His strength surpasses all others. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Do we believe that? What does it say? I can do all things. Anything God has for us to do, guess what? We can do it. Brother Borders, if God's called you to Alaska, you can get there. And if He's called him to Alaska, he'll get there. There'll be people saved there because God is sufficient. He's able. Well, I don't know how I'm going to face this. I don't think I can go through this. He is sufficient. Where our sufficiency falls short and we cannot handle it, thank God He can. When struggles come in our homes, our lives, I'm glad God can handle every need that we have. You know, the greatest need that many people have is just need to be saved. Need to be born again. Need to understand that Jesus loved them. Jesus died for them. Jesus took their place. He suffered their hell. I personally believe that Jesus suffered hell for every individual while He hung there on the cross of Calvary. He did that because He cares. Because He loves us. His grace is sufficient. Sufficient to save us. I've had people tell me, said, preacher, I've done too much for God to save me. That's who He came for. You're the type of person He's after. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, came to call sinners. I didn't come to call those that didn't need me. I came for those that do need me. Thank God I needed Him one day. He came to me. He saved me. And so we find that He is sufficient to help us. It teaches us that we can even praise the Lord in bad times. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. Very simple, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, what happened to me yesterday wasn't too good. In everything give thanks. What was it, Wednesday night I read about Matthew Henry, he was robbed. And one of the things he was thankful for that is the first time he'd been robbed. He was thankful that it didn't happen to somebody else. I don't know if I could get there or not. But we find that we can know the will of God and can thank God for whatever it comes because all things work together for good. Some people believe that John 3:16 is the greatest verse in the Bible. And it is a great verse. And it's a great verse for the world. For God so loved the world. But I believe the greatest verse in the Bible for the child of God is Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good. That means all things. That means the good things that happen. Oh, somebody sends you $1,000, that's a good thing. And then somebody robs you of $1,000, that's also classified, that will one day be understood as a good thing. For all things work together for our good. It doesn't say all good things. It doesn't say all bad things. It just says all things. That struggle that you're going through right now, if you're a Christian, all things work together for good. Now that verse is not for the lost. It is not for the unbeliever. It is not for those that do not know God. Romans 8:28 is, you can put above it, for the child of God. Everything that comes our way, God can make it and mend it for good. Because we are the called according to His purpose. There's that little word, the, again. The called. When God calls you, you're the called. And our thorns can teach us that even in bad times, we can rejoice in the Lord. One of the great examples in the Bible is the man by the name of Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, he says this, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job understood the principle that all things work together for good. The Lord gave. You can read the Scripture. God had given him multiple things. Job's day, probably he was the richest of all men. He had cattle, he had lands, he had everything. Everything going his way. And then the Bible says, and there came a day. And in that day, Job lost everything he had except his integrity. He lost his goods, his cattle, his things. Even lost his wife. She said, "Just curse God and die. What's the use, Job?" And Job looked at her and said, "You speak as a foolish woman." And all the things that came to Job's life, the Bible says he sinned not or charged God foolishly. And he kept his integrity. Even in the bad times, we can learn to praise God. My grace is sufficient. Thorns, what do they teach us? Well, they teach us to appreciate the good things. As I said a while ago, you lay down a bed of roses, you better take care of the stems first. Because the roses have many, many thorns on the stems. But yet, even the thorns teach us to appreciate the beauty of the rose that God has put before us. And I'm glad this morning, the rose of Sharon, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm glad He came one day and He died on an old rugged, cruel Roman cross that we might have life, that we might be saved, and we might know that we're going to heaven. Now that salvation doesn't give us an inoculation against hard times. Hard times just start when we get right with God. All of a sudden we're on a different side now and He don't like it. But I'll tell you what that salvation does do for us. It guarantees us a home in heaven. And the struggles that come can be overshadowed by the sufficiency of our God in trusting Him. My grace is sufficient. This morning, I don't know your life. I don't know your internal problems, and I'm glad I know one that does. And He can take the message, take the Word of God, apply it to our heart, and give us what's needed. Paul said, "I needed that thorn to keep me from being exalted above measure." And he wasn't talking about the Jews exalting him because they hated him. He wasn't talking about the government exalting him because they didn't like him either. He was talking about he exalting himself. So God gave him something to keep him in check. And he said, "I will glory I will glory in that cross. This morning, if you're not saved, first thing need to be done is take the Word of God and apply it to your heart. Trust the Lord. Believe upon Him. Call upon Him, and He will save. He's promised. If you're a Christian this morning and you're struggling with things, turn it over to the Lord. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to make it right. Just turn it over to the Lord. He can handle every problem. There's not a problem He can't take care of. There's not a bill He cannot pay. There's not a struggle He can't make easy. For He is our God. So this morning, whatever the need is, just turn it over unto the Lord. Let's stand together. Brother Bradley, come lead us in an old-fashioned invitation song. This is your time. If God spoke to your heart, if there's a need in your life, then I invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar. And as I have said so many times, come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with an old-fashioned God. Because He'll take care of it.